I'm going to ask that you be seated, because we've had you standing for a while. So you may be seated. And we want to sing together number 590, Jesus, Whose Master I Am. And this we will sing as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word. So number 590. Okay, and Laura's going to play through it once, and then we'll sing it. Jesus, Master, who lies I am, purchased thine my blood. I am thine, keep me faithful, keep me near. Let thy presence in me shine, all my homeward way to cheer. Jesus, at thy feet I fall. Jesus, Master, whom I serve, though so feebly and so ill, strengthen hand and heart and nerve, all thy bidding to fulfill. Open thou mine eyes to see all thy work thou hast for me. Lord, thou needest not, I know, service such as I can bring. Yet I long to prove and show full allegiance to my King. Thou an honor art to me, let me be a praise to thee. Amen. Amen. That was a good one to learn. Now we want to enter into our time to hear God's word preached. And so we want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2, and we'll read verses 12 through 17. 1 Peter 2, 12 through 17, I ask that you stand as we read and hear God's word. 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 12, page 1189. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word from your scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to yourself. You have called us out of darkness, out of corruption, into your marvelous light. And so we pray, Lord, that you would enlighten our eyes and our hearts as we consider your word. And so give me grace now to proclaim really what you have written here for our edification and for your exaltation and for your gospel, your kingdom to expand throughout this earth. And so bless our meditations, and may they be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sermon title this morning is Be Excellent. Be Excellent. Or another title is What Do You Expect? What do you expect? And my prayer is that you would expect excellence from God, and then as a result, from yourselves as well. And so here we have Peter, the Apostle Peter, encouraging believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. These believers were undergoing the fiery trials of persecution, of difficulty, lives literally at stake for the sake of Jesus Christ. And remember, this is Peter, the one when Jesus first met him, the one who said, "Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." The same Peter is calling you and calling me to be excellent, to be morally excellent. And so, I don't know about you, but that encourages me. If God was able to do it in Peter, he can do it in you. And he can do it in me. Remember, Peter was a salt of the earth kind of man. He was a sailor. And you know the saying, cuss like a sailor, probably applied to Peter. And he would admit that. But then, God got a hold of him through the Lord Jesus Christ and transformed him. And I believe God is able to do that with us as well. That's the gospel. Amen. And so we're looking at the new identity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The new identity is spoken about in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession," or God's treasured people. Yes, we are a treasured people of God. Why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a blessing to be called out of darkness into the marvelous, glorious light of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. And so we get to proclaim his excellencies. We proclaim the excellencies of God. What are the excellencies of God? Well, the word translated excellency means to have mighty moral virtue, mighty moral power and perfection. Think about the mighty glory of God. God is holy, holy, holy. He is perfect in his goodness. He is perfect in his holiness. He is perfect in his righteousness. He is perfect in his justice. And we desire justice. We desire righteousness in our society. And it seems we're being denied that. But that righteousness and justice can be found completely in God. And he wants us also to reflect in our character his righteousness, his justice, his goodness, his holiness, his excellencies. And so I exhort and urge you again, people of God, be excellent. For your Father in heaven is morally excellent. Amen? Amen? And so our main point, what we want to drive home this morning is this: God is morally excellent and he calls us to be excellent. Amen? Amen. And so we need to expect to be excellent, not because of our strength, but because of the mighty working of the Holy Spirit in us to make us more like Jesus. Amen? God is morally excellent and he calls us to be excellent. And we need to expect to be excellent. Why? Well, let's go back to the beginning of that statement. We're to be morally excellent because God is morally excellent. He is perfect in goodness, perfect in holiness. And so the angels bow before him, covering their eyes, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory." Hallelujah. God is morally excellent, morally virtuous. We hear the same thing in the scriptures throughout Leviticus 19:19. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Amen. I like to remind us that, yes, it's a command, but also it's a promise. Because as the Holy Spirit indwells us, as we submit ourselves to God's claim on our lives for holiness, and as we submit to the working of the Holy Spirit in us, and we agree with God and we don't push back against the command, the command becomes a promise. You shall be holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the mighty working of His Holy Spirit to make His people holy. And then there's Psalm 45, this beautiful messianic psalm. Psalm 45:2, speaking of the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, has this to say about our beautiful Savior. Psalm 45:2, you are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Jesus is the most excellent of men. God is morally excellent. The Son, God the Son, is morally excellent. The Holy Spirit is morally excellent. And He is able to make such as us, sinful men, into excellent men through His mighty Spirit dwelling in us. Hallelujah. God is morally excellent, and He calls us to be excellent. And that's our second point. God's people are to be excellent also. Our verse today in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Keep your behavior excellent among pagans, unbelievers. Keep your behavior excellent among the nations. That's what we're called to. Excellence in behavior. This is what God expects and empowers us to by His Spirit. And this is what we need to expect from ourselves. And this idea, this concept of the excellence of God's people, the holiness of God's people, because God is holy. Echoes of it are heard in Matthew 5:48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then we heard it earlier in 1 Peter chapter 1. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now we need to stop a minute to deal with the question, what does it mean to be holy? We're using that word a lot, and it's important that we define terms. To be holy is to be completely separate from sin and to have moral perfection. In other words, to be in complete agreement with what God says when God says what is good and what is evil, we agree with Him. And so we want to do what God says we should do, and we want to refrain from doing what God says not to do. And so that's what it means to be holy. Now we know that we fall short of God's call to be holy. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. Jesus was without sin. He was completely holy. And He offered Himself up on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for you and for me, to take away our sin and to give us His holiness, His righteousness, to bring us to God. That's what Jesus did. And so Jesus is the way to holiness for sinners. He's the way back to a holy God. Amen. But then as we receive Jesus, as we receive his Spirit, he is able to take sinners and make them into saints. And that, my friends, is a miracle. Amen? And that miracle is spoken of in theology as regeneration. God is able to take people who are born dead in their trespasses and sins, and he is able to make them alive through his Spirit. He is able to take out our hearts of stone and transplant into us hearts of flesh, and transplant into us his quickening, life-giving Spirit, so that we are careful to walk in all of his ways. That's what God is able to do. And amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, in Psalm 16:3, David says this about the saints, about the holy ones of God. Psalm 16:3, as for the saints, or the holy ones who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Beloved, I can say in truth that I delight in you. I'm so glad that you're here, whether you're here in person, and I'm praying that those of you who are here through the mediation of Zoom, that someday soon you also will be here in person. Yes. So that I can see you face to face. Yes. And so that we can embrace. We might need to have a mask in between us, or maybe not if we do it outside. Or maybe we at some point become immune to this coronavirus. But we are grateful, thankful that God raises up brothers and sisters, holy ones, excellent ones, in whom is all our delight. What a blessing it is. What a wonderful blessing, beyond any earthly blessing. What a blessing it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. And then we find out of various saints throughout the ages who were brought up to the full stature of Christ in excellence. We think of Daniel. In Daniel 6, it says, then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, the ministers and supposed wise men of the the Persian Empire. And it says, because an excellent spirit was in him. And you might even be able to say an excellent capital S spirit. It was the excellent Holy Spirit who was in him. And the king gave thought of setting him over the whole realm. And so he was put in a high place because of what God did in him to make him an excellent man. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:31, speaking of spiritual gifts, what should we desire regarding spiritual gifts? Well, the scriptures say, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so we are to desire the gifts for the edification of our brothers and sisters, so we can move on in holiness and maturity and in excellence. Desire the greater gifts so that you may excel still more and your brothers and sisters may excel still more. And he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. the way of love. Because if we love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, with our whole being, with our whole body, soul, and spirit, and if we love our neighbor as ourselves, then we will follow the most excellent way. Amen. Amen. And really, that's what the spiritual gifts are all about. They're not about drawing attention to ourselves. They're not about showing what we know, because knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so we're to be all about building one another up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be all about loving one another, even as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And then we think about the surpassing greatness of the power of God that is in us. And so 2 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us that if you're a Christian, inside of you is a treasure. Inside of you is a glory. Inside of you is the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in clay pots. Sometimes these clay pots are crackpots. I resemble that remark. We have our fractures. We have our foibles. We have our weaknesses. We have our imperfections, but it pleases God to put the treasure of his own Holy Spirit in these clay vessels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be in us, not from ourselves, but from him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if we become excellent, let's not boast. Let's give God the glory, because the excellency is from him. Amen. And the glory goes to him. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, we read it earlier. Excel still more. Excel in sexual purity. We can excel there. If we turn to God, if we don't push back against the command and say, yes, this is right, this is what God calls us to, we've fallen short, but he is able. Amen. Is he able? Amen. He is able. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or command. Hallelujah. And then we also are to excel in true Christian love. True Christian love. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but we do not want, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. Why? For God himself has taught you to love one another. And so here Paul is commending the Thessalonians, saying, yes, I see it, I hear it. You are loving one another as you ought. And we don't even need to teach you about that, because you've learned it, and we know you've learned it because you're doing it. And that's the test of learning. Not that we have it up here. We do need to get it up here first, but then it needs to go from here into our hearts and then out through our hands and our feet, and so that we love with our actions. Let us not love with word or with tongue, but with deeds and truth. Amen. And so they had learned to love one another, and that's good. And brothers and sisters, we need to learn to love one another and keep learning. Husbands and wives, same thing. Husbands, love your wives. Give yourself up for your wives. Lead your wives. Teach your wives. They need to hear that you love them. They need to hear that Jesus loves them. That's what the gospel says. And so we need to preach the gospel to ourselves, preach the gospel to our wives. Wives need to submit to their husbands as to Christ. So wives, love your husbands as you love Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fathers, love your children. Teach them. Yes. Grandfathers, love your grandchildren. Teach them about Jesus. Amen. And mothers, teach your children about Jesus. Love them. Let them know about Jesus. Let them know the gospel. We need to shepherd our children. Shepherd our grandchildren. Amen? Amen. This is love. Amen. How can we say that we love them if we don't share the gospel with them? If we don't share God's word with them? If we don't fellowship with them? Fellowship is love. Amen. Evangelism is love. First towards God, we give ourselves to God, and then we give ourselves to one another. Amen. And so we urge you, Paul says, we urge you to love them even more. Excel still more, beloved saints. Excel still more in love. But now here's the question. How can we be morally excellent? How can we be morally excellent? Maybe some of you are asking that question now. Hold on a second. And so, I want to be morally excellent, and I want to be obedient. I want to excel. I want to excel still more, but this flesh keeps holding me back. What do we do? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We need to believe in the mighty grace of God. Grace that forgives. Amen? Amen. But then also grace that empowers. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 9:8? God is able. God is able. I'm going to say it again. God is able. Amen. Amen. Is God able to make us an excellent people? Amen. Yes, He is. Amen. Yes, He is. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you. Amen. So there's grace, there's enabling grace, and there's overflowing enabling grace available to you and to me. Believer, do you believe that? Believer, I'm calling you believers. Do you believe that, believers? We need to be believing believers. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, not in some ways, not sometimes, but in every way, always. Always? Does always mean always? Yes. When God says always, it means always. Amen. That in every way, always having everything you need. God, I don't have what I need. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. And 2 Peter chapter 1, what does it say there about God's supply? 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Thank God for the multiplication of his grace and his peace. Does anybody need grace? I need grace. Anybody need peace in this day and age with what's going on in our society, what's going on politically? Anybody need peace? Well, may it be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that by his divine power, he has granted to us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. By his glory and virtue, he's given us everything we need so that we can be excellent in him. Amen. Always having everything you need that you may excel in every good work. Hallelujah. And so we are called and empowered to display the excellence of God. Do you know that the priests, even in the garments that they were to wear, they were to be symbolic of what we are to be in Christ. They were to wear tunics and caps, and Aaron wore a breastplate and a turban. And on the turban there was the inscription, "Holy unto the Lord." All those things apply to us. And so it says in Exodus 28:2, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." And then Exodus 28:40, "For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics," the tunics that were linen, that were beautiful, "and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them, for glory and for beauty." And don't you know when the Lord Jesus is depicted in Revelation, he's depicted with that tunic and that sash? Glory, beauty, excellence. That's what God calls us to be as his people. And again, we echo 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that proclamation of excellency is so much so that even our enemies will see the excellency. What does it say in our passage? It says that they, even though they slander us as evildoers, they may, on account of our good deeds, as they observe them, they glorify God in the day of his visitation. And so what an awesome thing that even our enemies see the work of God to make us excellent, because God is excellent. Now, how do we get there? Well, first, we need to humble ourselves. Part of our problem is our pride. We don't want to be told that we fall short. We don't want to be told that we're wrong. Remember Fonzie television, he would say, "I was rrrr." This is when he's trying to apologize, to ask forgiveness. He would say, "I was rrrr." He couldn't say he was wrong. It's so hard for us to say that we're wrong, but we need to humble ourselves and admit that we fall short of the glory and excellence of God. That's the beginning. We need to go low before we go high. And so we go low with the humbling of ourselves and with the humiliation of realizing that we're not all it. We're not excellent as we ought to be. And so we confess that first to God. "Father, forgive me for not recognizing your excellence and then desiring to reflect your excellence." And we need to confess to one another. "Saints, please forgive me. I need to be an example of excellence, and I haven't always done that. And so I want to change. I want to be excellent, because our Father in heaven is excellent." Amen. And then I need to submit to excellence. Stop the pushback. If God says you shall be excellent, guess what? You shall. And it's something to desire and something to be excited about and glad about, because this is what God is able to do in a saint. Hallelujah. Amen. So submit to it. And then trust God. Trust that God is able. God is able and will enable us to excel and to excel still more as we submit to his will in this matter. Isn't it true? Isn't that the way sanctification is? It's about submitting our wills and say, "God, your way is the right way. Your way is the good way." And there is power for obedience when we submit ourselves to it. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, strengthen us to trust you and to trust that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all we ask or even imagine by his mighty resurrection power, which works in us and in his church. Hallelujah. Then lastly, we walk it out. Walk obediently with your master, your excellent master, the Lord Jesus, as we keep company with people and persons, the three persons, the Holy Trinity, the excellent Holy Trinity. Guess what? That excellence is going to rub off on us. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited about that, and I hope and I pray that you would be excited about being with the excellent glory of God. Lord God, show us your glory. Show us your excellence. Show us your beauty. Show us your marvelous light. And may that transform us from the inside out. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for these blessings. Thank you that you are excellent and you are the most excellent of men, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. And we pray, Lord, if there is anyone or there are any, more than one, who don't yet know your goodness, your beauty, your glory, don't yet know you, Jesus, as Lord and as Savior, the one who takes away our sin, I pray, Lord, that you would open their understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would cause these to be born again, to become new creations in Christ, that they would stop the pushback, stop the rebellion and submit themselves to you and say, yes, Lord, I understand that I have sinned, that I am a sinful man, that I am a sinful woman, that I deserve death, I deserve hell. But you, in your great mercy, sent your most excellent Son to die on the cross in my place. He took the death and the hell that I deserved. And he gives the life, the eternal life, the relationship with you that I don't deserve. And so now I receive him as Lord and Savior, because you promise to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, please give grace to unbelievers that they may believe and receive the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. Give them life. Give them that relationship with you. Give them your Holy Spirit to dwell in them and make them your excellent ones. Give us your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit that we would be excellent because you, our Father, are excellent. And we ask it in the most excellent name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.